Welcome to the Bee's Knees of Disney. Welcome back to viewers who have been waiting for a new episode, and welcome back to myself who's been waiting to record a new episode. It's been a long time coming, but we're here to deliver a new episode of Bee's Knees of Disney, where we talk about, or I, Max, talk about every episode, movie of the Disney Animation Studios canon. We've made it all the way to Alice in Wonderland. This movie is one that I had watched maybe once or twice as a kid, and revisited recently as an adult, and had a whole new fresh perspective on it. I think this is a solid movie with a lot to offer, and it's a much different movie than the ones that preceded it in the canon. So I'm looking forward to giving my thoughts about Alice in Wonderland. All right, just like every episode, we're going to start with the main points, just the main overview of this movie and my thoughts about it. In the next segment, we will talk more deeper about what I think about this movie, and then we'll close it out. First things first, Alice in Wonderland. This was made in 1951. It was based off Lewis Carroll's very famous books, the Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass. I believe those are two separate books. One thing about this movie is its adherence to source material. Now, I have not actually read those books, but I can just tell based on the previous movies and this movie that this movie was definitely catering to the book. It was trying to stay true to that, in the sense that it was taking... It just has a different feel from the other movies, where it makes me think that Walt Disney or whoever was in charge creatively of this movie wanted to stick to that as much as possible and not stray away from it, probably for a few different reasons. One, I think this might have been, in my estimation, one of the most iconic source materials that they had used at the time, so you don't really want to mess with that too much. A lot of people probably might have already read the book to their kids or read it themselves. This is a classic, so I feel like they did not want to stray too far away. And also, this is such a distinct type of story and style that I think that they did not want to stray far from it. You would be doing it a disservice to the material itself, and maybe even whatever you were making. If you were to stray away from it, you would be kind of going away from what made it special in the first place. So first off and foremost, this movie definitely is a different cat, no pun intended. There's a lot of cats in this movie, but, it's definitely a different style, than the first couple movies in the canon. This is not a straightforward story in the sense of, you know, building characters and, relationships and a quest and stuff. Like, there is a quest, I suppose, but it's mostly about Alice. It starts off the movie in her regular, you know, garden space, and I think it sets up the movie really well by her singing a song about wanting a nonsense world. I thought that was a really good way to frame it, because then she's thrust right into the nonsense world. And I thought that the pacing of the movie was good, in that it just threw you right into this wonderland, and then you just sort of were along for the ride. It kind of was like different stops along the way. There was some cohesion at the end, which I'll talk about in a second, but for the most part, this is just taking you step by step through her journey. I wanted to start with talking about Alice's character design. Her character design is very iconic in the Disney canon. It's still today very recognizable. The blue dress, blonde hair. It's one of those unique designs. I think it still stands to this day. Very clear. You know where she is all the time in the movie. And I think that was a solid choice there. I think she stands out more than a lot of the character Disney princesses so far. I think she was probably the best designed, or more clear design than the others. So that being said, she was a solid character design. I think the character itself develops along the way, and I think it's a very interesting development. And I think it starts small with her wanting the nonsense world. You kind of wonder why she would want that. And quickly throughout the movie, she realizes that's not what she wants, which is very interesting to me. So it starts off the movie, you know, with the door and her, you know, floating around in the ocean. There's just a lot of different steps along the way. And I think what this movie does really well throughout is the wonderful animation, very colorful, very vibrant, very inventive, very specific. It's never muddled. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of different things, imaginative things, and the animation is on point, I think, throughout. In fact, I think this might be the best animated so far as inventiveness with the colors and the designs. Obviously, these are mostly in part due to the source material. I'm sure these were, you know, outlined very specifically, or, you know, there's the sequence with the birds who are like shaped like objects. I'm sure that was outlined in the books, but for them to bring it to life, I think they did an excellent job. And remember, this is 1951. So they're required to do with more than what they might have been capable of with technology. They really had to draw it out exactly the way they wanted to. And I thought that animation, as far as character design, specific, you know, these creatures coming to life, was very, very well done. And I think it carries the movie, because there are so many twists and turns in this movie, and that can get tiresome. But the fact that they're all kind of supported by this animation and character design and colors and sequences, they really bring it to another level, and they keep you from being kind of thrown off balance by these the just kind of quick twists and turns in this story. It doesn't stay in one place very long, and I think you're just kind of along for the ride, and I think it works because you get the sense of you enjoy it. It's enjoyable. Because, you know, you're seeing all these new things in a weird way. It's all done in a very bizarre kind of left center way. And I can imagine this is what appealed to people at the time. It was very different from maybe anything they were watching, but different, definitely different from any Disney movie that had come out. And I think this is the adherence to that source material, you know, being very specific to that book, or books in this case. So I think that this movie overall is a fun ride. And there is more to it than just a fun ride. And I'm going to get to that in the next segment, where I talk more about the meaning of this movie and the kind of deep moments. But for me, the movie is enjoyable from start to finish. There's no dull moment. It can get a bit confusing, but I think that's part of the appeal. I think you need to go in it with an open mind. You need to realize that this movie is not like every other Disney movie, with a princess looking for a prince, or a character going on an adventure trying to find their way. It's really about, you know, experiencing these different vignettes, these different short portions of the movie that all kind of fit together. And they do come together, I think, quite well in this movie. At the end. And I think that overall, you know, this movie went by quickly because it was such a quick pace. And I think there was some solid development in there, to where I think, you know, it worked to what it was trying to do. And I think it was planned out well. And I'm sure there was more segments from the books that they could have chosen, but I think they chose the ones that they wanted to, first of all, that would work best, and the animation would flow nicely. So I think overall, you know, you're dealing with a solid movie, story-wise and pacing-wise and animation-wise, of course. So in the next time, I want to talk about what really dig deeper into this movie and what makes it, I think, a special movie, pretty good movie. All right, so this is the segment I call Deep Moments. And it's just digging deeper into the movie and what makes it tick, and what makes it, an enduring classic. What's underneath everything that really kind of sticks with you? The first thing that sticks with me was the first segment, one of the first segments, The Walrus and the Carpenter. This is probably an infamous segment, but it set the tone for the movie. So just to outline, this segment is basically about a walrus and a carpenter, human carpenter, who lure these innocent oysters that they want to eat into their house. It's kind of a very dark segment, and they eat the oysters. And this was, there has been dark moments in the Disney movies before, but this one had a bit of a more sinister feel because it was done in kind of a lighthearted way. And they're telling the story, the Tweedledee and Tweedledum to Alice about this story. It's like a fable. And it's just the way they say it. And it's very, you know, point blank. And Alice is like, that's a very sad story. And it is. And I think it sticks with you because I think this sets the tone for just kind of, there is an underlying darkness to this movie. And I think, and I'm definitely probably going out on a limb here, but this is something I was thinking of when I was watching this movie as an adult. I think, and I have no, there's no, obviously no proof of this, but the books, I'm very interested in reading the books now, because I feel like there was some commentary on society with this movie. And that sounds crazy, but let me explain just a little bit. I feel like Alice is sort of, encountering society, or, you know, the society concept throughout this movie. And it just reminds me, living as an adult, and I've, you know, lived a couple years as an adult now, and it's just, it reminded me of, like, humanity and the way that humanity can treat you. So, just for example, you know, it seems like everyone is willing to sort of help Alice or talk to Alice at first, right? They go, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Do you need this? And as soon as they get upset, or as soon as they don't see their way, or as soon as they don't really see a need in Alice, they kind of throw her aside, and they get mad at her, and they kind of curse her out. And you see this throughout the movie. You see her kind of, you know, have an open mind towards these people, and then they kind of turn on her. And she's like, well, you know, screw you guys, I'm out of here. And she kind of develops this temper throughout the movie, which to me made me think of, you know, living life. You do have an, you know, most of the time, you know, growing up, innocent mind, you have an open mind to people, but you get tired of maybe the way they treat you, or you start getting more wise to what people's true motives are. And I know that that is going out on a limb, but I really think there's something about that in this movie where you have an underlying tone of everyone is out to get you in some way, or wants to kind of do what they want, and as soon as they're done, they're out, and you're no longer important. So I felt that in the movie, and I think Alice felt that from the people in the movie, and that's what kind of caused her to get more and more angry throughout the movie and less trusting. And I thought that was kind of an interesting way to do it. And I don't know if that came from the source material or that came from Disney. I'm imagining a little bit of both. But I thought that was really stuck with me as an adult watching this movie, along with all the animation and things like that. There are two segments. I just talked about Walrus and the Carpenter, but a couple more that I like. The Golden Afternoon with the singing flowers is a very beautiful song. Very nice animation. That really stuck with me. You know, combining music and picture and sound is something Disney does better than anyone, and I thought that that was a kind of showing off what they do best there, and I thought it really stuck with me. Another segment I really liked was when she was walking through the woods with all these creatures, and she was getting more and more confused, more and more homesick, and she kind of cried, and the other creatures cried, and I thought this was such a powerful segment. It kind of brought it down to reality and brought her down to reality. And like I said, just with the whole, you know, her coming of age within the movie and realizing things about the world she's in, you know, I thought that that was solid, and brought it home. I thought that was a really good segment. I also really, I liked the last segment with the queen. That represented like the utmost evil that you may encounter living life. You know, the ultimate authority or people who just want to get their way, the ones who can't be swayed. I thought it kind of elevated to that moment with the queen, her wanting to, you know, chop everyone's head off and get her way. And it was aggravating, but I thought it was just, like I said, I might be looking more into it than it, there's there. But I think there is that message there that, you know, like there are people like this and there are forces that you cannot fight no matter, you know, they're tough. Not saying you can't fight them or can't win, but they're immovable objects, so to speak, out in the real world, which is, I thought, what Alice was in Wonderland. She was in a real world. And this is the adult in me talking, because as a kid, I don't think I would have said any of this. And that's why I think this is such a great movie, enduring classic, is because it does appeal to adults. They see the nonsense in the world, and this nonsensical world is not just in this sort of storybook, you know, fantastical land where things are backwards, things don't make sense. It's in real life, too. And I think there's a connection there. I think that's what, you know, maybe the book Lewis Carroll was writing was about. So I think there's a lot here. I think this is the movie that maybe connects me to something high concept that I might not have seen in the other Disney movies. Not to say those aren't great and enduring and can affect you in many different ways. They're about, you know, the human journey. This one, I think, had a lot to say about society. And I think that's what stuck to me. And as an adult, that's what, you know, I was able to get from it. And as a kid, you would get a lot from this movie as well, right? And that's what Disney does the best, better than anyone, appeal to adults and kids at the same time. And I think this one does it in really different ways. And so in my opinion, there's a lot here. This is a rewatchable movie. By the end, I was thinking about all these things, which is a testament to the movie more than a testament to, you know, me just thinking about things. So I want to just say that, you know, overall, this movie has a lot to offer, and it's worth revisiting if you haven't. But I'm going to go ahead and close it out in the next segment and give my final thoughts about this movie. All right, Alice in Wonderland. I'm going to close out my thoughts on this movie. I thought it was a really pretty great movie. I think it surprised me. I think I was not expecting the thoughts that I was going to have about this movie while watching it. And that kind of elevated it for me, saying there's a lot here that's for adults, kids. I thought the animation was great. I thought it was really specific, really clear. I saw this world come to life. I thought it was paced well. I never was bored. I liked all the twists and turns that it took. I liked how never stayed in one place too long. I liked the character development of Alice as she kind of traversed this world. So overall, I really thought this was a really solid movie. I would rate it above Cinderella in my rating, but I think Cinderella is more universal. But as far as something I got out of this movie, I would say I got a lot out of this movie, and I think it was a really solid experiment with the source material in a Disney movie and just kind of combining it into one package. I thought it was really well done. And I think it's one of those rewatchable movies. I think the visuals are really different and trippy and cool, and it's worth revisiting. So I would give it my highest, you know, high upmost recommendation. I thought this was a really cool, unique movie, and it surprised me the level of thoughts that I was having about living life and society and all that stuff. So now, looking forward to the next movie. It's one that I did not watch that much as a kid as well, so I think I'm going to have a clear mind, open mind to it. This is Peter Pan. So this is also an enduring classic. We're keep going through the classics. In fact, most of these movies are classics, but this one especially so. So thank you for listening. I hope I have more episodes of all Disney movies up until this point. You can go backwards in time. I encourage you to listen if you like this episode. Subscribe, do what you gotta do. Thank you so much for listening, and take care.